If you have your Bibles tonight, Matthew chapter 27, for the sake of time, I'm not going to read it all again, but we'll be reading, going down through part of it and through the message tonight. And I don't know how this is going to go tonight. I still got a lot of ground to cover. And we may, I told my wife today, she said, "Honey, how in the world are you going to get finished?" I said, "Well, I still got Wednesday night before revival. We might come back to Philippians after revival. I don't know what God's going to do." Amen. But I know this has really stirred my heart. And Sister Becky wasn't here this morning, but she'll understand. I mean, when you think about what I preached this morning, the song that was sung a while ago was just absolutely awesome. Absolutely awesome. The Bible said in verse 27 of Matthew chapter 27, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, and they gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him, and they put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him, and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they spit upon him, and they took the reed, and they smote him on the head." I mean, y'all ever been hit in the top of the head with something like a broomstick? Amen? Or raised up into something, hit you in the top of the head? That don't feel good, does it? Amen? I used to have a fellow that he would just take his finger and just flip you in the top of the head like that. I wanted to take my fist and flip him in the side of the jaw. Amen? When he done that, it hurt. The Bible said here, they spit upon him, took a reed, smote him on the head. And after that, they had mocked him. They took the robe from him, and they put his own raiment on him, and they led him away to crucify him. As they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. When they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled. I love to read those words, that it might be fulfilled. It was already planned, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. And they set up over his head an accusation written, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.' Then were the two three thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, 'Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross.'" Y'all know what that's about. Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and I'll raise it up again in 3 days." They didn't understand. He was speaking of his body. They're mocking again in verse 40. In verse 41, "Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, 'He saved others. Himself he cannot save. And if he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God.' The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?' Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, 'This man calleth for Elias.' And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, 'Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him.' Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost." Let's pray. Father, I need your help tonight, Lord. I want to try to magnify some of these truths, God, that you magnified in my heart this week. Lord, I thank you for our people. Lord, I know that a lot of churches have given up on the Sunday night service. Don't see it needful anymore, giving up on prayer meeting. Lord, I thank you for these that gather, Lord, on Sunday night and on Wednesday night. These, our Lord, that don't want to make it from one week to the next, our Father. And I pray, God, that you'll just help us, Lord, through the Word of God, Lord. Thank you for the hunger for the Word of God tonight. I pray, God, you'd bless it as it goes forth, and may it be a help to us, our Father. Lord, would you light a revival, Lord, in our hearts? Lord, may we be in a spirit of revival even when Brother Mike comes. Be excited. Be inviting others, Lord. We want to see you work, God, in our midst. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Just a little bit of review, not much. I'll just give them to you. He was bound this morning that we might be unbound. He was sold out for man's silver that we might be purchased with our Lord's blood. He was silent in his punishment that we might lift our voice in praise. He took the place of a prisoner that he might offer pardon to a prisoner. And then we said this morning he was bruised and beaten that we might be blessed. He was stripped and humiliated that we might be clothed and be humble. He wore a crown of thorns on his head that you and I might have a crown of life and a crown of glory and a crown of righteousness, a crown of rejoicing, a crown incorruptible to lay at his feet. Just a little bit tonight, as we just go on down through the text tonight, we'll look at verse number 29. The Bible said here in verse number 29, the Bible said, "And when they had platted the crown of thorns, they put it on his head, a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews." I won't spend a lot of time right here, but I want to say this. They bowed the knee in mockery, and we bow our knee in worship. Amen. Can I say this tonight? The Bible tells us in three different places. Look at Isaiah chapter 45 for just a minute. If you're here tonight and you've never been born again, I want you to think about something for just a few minutes tonight. In Isaiah chapter 45, I didn't realize this was in the Old Testament. I really didn't until I studied this time through. In verse number 23, the Bible said, "I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear." I did not realize that was in the book of Isaiah. Look at Romans chapter 14 for a moment and verse number 11. In the book of Romans in chapter number 14 and verse number 11, we're going to have that same thought taught again in the Word of God. The Bible said, "For as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God." You say, "Well, preacher, does that mean everybody's going to be saved?" Oh, no. You understand that some are going to bow the knee now, but everybody will bow the knee either now or later. Everybody will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Look at Philippians for just a moment. Here in the Word of God in Philippians chapter 2, that's the book we've been studying in on Wednesday night. In Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 10, well, let me read verse 9. "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above, which is above every name." Amen. For the name of Jesus, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I say they bowed their knee that day in mockery. I don't know how many of these men got saved before they died, or if any of them got saved before they died. But I'll say this, my friend, they bowed their knee in mockery on that day, but the next time they bow their knee, it won't be in mockery. And thank God, though they bowed in mockery, you and I have the privilege, because of Calvary, to bow in worship and bow in worship our precious Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus. Look at verse number 30 with me. The Bible said, "And they spit upon him, and they took the reed, and they smote him on the head." You say, "Preacher, what happened here at Calvary?" I don't know about you, but I think about this, and I believe it's an ugly scene, a very ugly scene. Jesus wore a beard. I don't have a problem with that. Amen. God put a beard on a man. Amen. And we know that the Bible said they plucked his beard. And if Jesus was wearing his beard like I'm wearing mine, that'd be hard to do without tweezers. Say amen right there. But I see, my friend, the spittle running down his face and running down through his beard. And you say, "Preacher, why did that stir you up?" I thought about my friend. Listen, here's the statement I wrote down. He wore spittle on his face. But thank God he's going to wipe the tears from our face. You think about Revelation chapter 21. The Bible said, my friend, there in the book of Matthew, he's been spit on. It's running down his face. He's bound. He can't even wipe it from his face. But the Word of God said there's coming a day when there'll be no more death, no more tears, no more crying, no more dying. And our precious Lord will reach over. We've just witnessed the great white throne judgment. We've just seen our lost loved ones. We've just seen lost people down through the ages of time cast into the lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone. I don't believe it's any accident that right after that, the Lord God Almighty has to come along and wipe the tears away from our eyes. But I tell you, while he's wiping tears from our eyes, we'll be worshiping him because he was willing to be spit upon and to be crucified that we might have that precious privilege. Amen. He wore spittle on his face that he might wipe the tears from our face. Let me give you this now in chapter 27 here in verse number 33 and verse number 34. The Bible said here, and when they were coming to the place called Golgotha, that is to say a place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. I want you to turn to John chapter 19 for just a minute tonight. In the book of John in chapter number 19, I want to give you a truth here tonight that blesses my soul. In John chapter 19, and we'll look over here at, I believe it's verse number 28. John chapter 19 and verse number 28. Listen to what the Word of God said. The Bible said, and after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, what did the Lord give you here? I just want to give you this tonight. I hope it'll bless you like it did me. He was willing to endure a great thirst as he was dying, that he might pour living water, my friend, on those that are thirsty. The Word of God says over there in the book of Isaiah, in verse chapter 44 and verse number 3, said, I will pour water on him that is thirsty. There was a songwriter years ago that wrote a song that said, he said, I thirst, yet he made the river. I thirst, yet he made the sea. I thirst, said the King of the ages. But thank God Almighty in his great thirst, he brought water to me. Amen. The woman at the well, I tell you, she went with a bucket. Thank God, went with a bucket. All she wanted was a bucket of water. But I tell you, she left with a river running out of her. Amen. Because of the one that was willing to die on Calvary's cross and endure that great thirst so that when you and I got thirsty for something besides the things of this world, for something that would never satisfy, when we got thirsty for the living God, he could satisfy that thirst because he had been through, my friend, our judgment on Calvary's cross. Amen. What a blessing. Amen. What a blessing to think about tonight. Look over here at John chapter 6 for just a moment. Verse number 35, long about there. The Bible's teaching us a truth here. My friend, there's a lot of people in Bloomingdale thirsty. And they don't know what they're thirsting after. But I tell you, they're only going to find satisfaction when they come to the well of grace. Amen. They're not going to find satisfaction in the drugs. They're not going to find satisfaction in the alcohol. They're not going to find satisfaction in immorality. They're not going to find satisfaction in money. They're not going to find satisfaction in their pride and in their prestige. But I tell you, thank God when you meet Jesus, your thirst can be satisfied. Amen. For time and eternity. Watch what the Bible said right here in John chapter 6 and verse number 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Oh, I'm going to tell you tonight, God is the one that satisfies. But my friend, it's because he was willing to endure that great thirst that he can bring water to your soul and bring water to me tonight. Let me give you this tonight. Look back over in Matthew chapter 27. And let's go on down here about verse number 42. The Bible said here in verse number 42, of Matthew 27, the Bible said here, they said he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. I want to give you this statement that the Lord gave me. He refused to save himself that he might be able to save others. How many believes he could have saved himself? Amen. Listen to me tonight. I'm not going to get in an argument about that. But I know he had all power in heaven and in earth. And I know, my friend, that he chose to give his life. But he did not save himself that he might be able to save others. Look at Romans just a moment with me. And verse number 5, there's this truth that's painted for us here in the Word of God. In Romans chapter number 5, rather, and we'll look at a verse of Scripture or two here. Romans chapter 5, and we'll begin reading in verse number 15. What a precious book this old Bible is. In verse number 15 here in Romans chapter 5, listen what the Bible said. But as the offense, so also is the free gift. If for the offense of one, through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one unto condemnation. But the Bible said, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men unto condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification. Boy, I like that changeover, don't you? You change from condemnation to justification, and it's all by one man, and it all happened at Calvary. Amen. He was willing, my friend, one man. He refused to save himself because he saw many that needed to be saved. Look at verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Glory to God. You can just call me Many tonight. Amen. What's your name? Many. Amen. He made me righteous through the blood of the precious cross of Calvary tonight. He refused to save himself. Why? Because he didn't have his eyes on himself. He had his eyes on others. Jesus lived his life for others. Jesus died his death for others. Jesus got up the third day. Amen. For others. Jesus will come again on the clouds of glory for others. He'll come back to the Mount of Olives and put one foot on the mountain and one foot on the sea. And he'll do it all for others. Amen. For others. That's what he done. And that's what he's going to do. It's what he wants us to do. It's live our life for others. Amen. I will give you this. Let's go on down to verse 45. Is anybody's heart stirred tonight to think about what's being accomplished on Calvary? The Bible said now there was from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? A couple of things here. The first thing the Lord gave me, listen, he hung in darkness. Hallelujah. Listen to me. He hung in darkness for time. Think about that. That you and I might walk in the light. Not just for time. Hallelujah. We're supposed to be walking in the light tonight. Amen. We're supposed to be walking in the light of God's dear Son. In the light of God's dear Word. In the light of God the Holy Ghost. We're not supposed to walk in darkness. We're supposed to follow Him. We're supposed to walk in the light. But listen, it's not just for time that we're going to walk in the light, but for eternity we'll walk in the light because he was willing to hang in the darkness for you and for me. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, the Bible said if you'll read about that city, there's no moon and there's no sun. For the Lord God and the Lamb are the light thereof. Amen. I tell you, we're going to walk in the light for all eternity because he was willing to hang in the darkness on Calvary's tree. That blesses my heart tonight. Amen.
The Bible said if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. I don't know about you tonight. I'm glad He was willing to hang there in the darkness for a little while, that you and I might be able to walk in the light for eternity. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, tonight, the privilege to walk in the light. How many knows we still got flesh? How many knows what the flesh is drawn to? The flesh is not drawn to light. The flesh is drawn to the darkness. Say amen right there. But the flesh has to be brought under subjection to the Spirit of God, that we might walk in the light as He is in the light. He hung in darkness for time, that you and I might walk in the light for time and for eternity. Oh, what a blessing tonight. Think about this tonight. I'll give you a few more things. I believe we'll just go ahead and finish this up. It might take a few minutes. Amen. But let me just go ahead and go on down through here. The Bible said here, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. How many's ever been where it's real dark? Amen. I come through the auditorium a lot when it's dark. But it's not real dark. Because these men back here in the sound room, they normally have that screen that stays on that computer. And that's just enough light to get me through here without having to turn a light on and without killing myself. Amen. I like to come over here and pray. Amen. And I don't turn the light on. Not if I can see where I'm going. But I tell you, I believe when God put the lights out that day, how many's ever been in a place where it was so dark you couldn't see your hand? I believe when God put the lights out that day, it was not just dark. It was very dark. It was the sin of all the ages dark. It was your sin dark, my sin dark, the sin of all mankind dark. But hallelujah, great was the darkness, but greater is the light that we walk in tonight than the darkness. The Bible said, the darkness comprehended it not. Amen. The darkness could not handle the light. The light has overcome, praise God, the darkness. Let me give you a couple more things right here. If you look on down here in verse 46, I just read it in your hearing. The Bible said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Did you know tonight, this ought to bless your heart. If you are a genuine, born again believer, did you know that you will never have to say what Jesus said hanging on the cross? You say, preacher, how can you say that? Can you say that dogmatically? I do. The Bible said that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And we might be able to understand, He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Jesus said, I'll go with you all the way, even to the end of the world. I'll tell you something tonight. It would, my friend, be a great concern to me tonight if I had to go to bed tonight and wonder when I woke up if He'd still be with me. Say amen right there. Oh, glory to God. I'm glad I don't have to wonder. I tell you, we got hooked up, me and the Lord, 27 years ago. He said, son, where you go, I'm a-going. Amen. I'm going with you all the way, even unto the end of the world. He was forsaken of the Father, that you and I would never be forsaken. My friend, what a blessing that is. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 9, he said, I was persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. There may be a time when you and I are persecuted. I'm telling you, church, we need to get ready. Amen. But hallelujah, we can say persecuted, but not forsaken. We might be cast down. You say, preacher, they might destroy us. Oh, listen, the only part they can touch is going to go back to that old dust anyway. Amen. I tell you, they can't touch the part that He's redeemed. It's going home to be with Him. Amen. That's a blessing to me tonight. He was willing to be forsaken of the Father, that you and I would never have to be forsaken. Let me give you this. This blesses me. It blesses my heart. Look at Mark chapter 15. We're leaving, my friend, the text for just a moment. We'll be back in Mark chapter 15. You see, each one of these will give you a little different light. That's why I encourage you this morning. When you read something in the gospel, if it's the story of the maniac, if it's the story of the storm, Jesus walking on the water, I encourage you to read every occurrence, every recording that recorded that event, because you'll find things, amen, that maybe would be not be in the other text. Look at Mark chapter 15 for just a moment. Mark chapter 15 and verse number 28. The Bible said, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors." I want to ask you a question tonight. How many knows where that's at in the Old Testament? Anybody know? Isaiah 53. "And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors." That's over there towards the end of Isaiah chapter number 53. You say, "Well, preacher, where did you get the blessing right here?" Well, first of all, let me just say this. He was numbered with the transgressors that you and I might be numbered with the redeemed. Amen. How many believes God's got a number? Amen. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" I'm telling you, there's coming a day, brother, when his number is going to be made up. He's going to make up those jewels. Are you listening to me? And the bride of Christ, the church of the living God, will be complete, and we're going home. Amen. I just want to say tonight, I'm glad I'm in that number. Amen. And when the saints go marching in, hallelujah, I'll be in that number with him. Why, preacher? Because he was willing to be numbered with the transgressors. I was in a prison years ago. I was in Parchment, Mississippi. And I remember it well because it was a cafeteria-like setting. A mess hall, I guess would be a more accurate way to put it. But the tables had the benches built onto them. And so the preacher would be standing over there preaching. And men would sit on this side of the table with their arms on the table. And men would sit on this side of the table with their Bible in their lap, with the table at their back. And they had rows and rows and rows of tables. And it was probably as wide as this church is and about half as deep. And I had the privilege that day to lead a man to Jesus back in the cell block. And I told him about the service that night. And when he came in, I was standing at the door greeting men. And I wasn't preaching that night. And I told him so. I had preached the night before. And when he came in, he shook my hand. He said, "Preacher," he said, "I want to sit with you." And I didn't know it, Brother Wayne. I didn't know it. I was green as a gourd as far as prison goes. But they don't really want the preachers to sit with the inmates. Amen. But you know, this worked out real good because I got me a blessing out of it on the way home. Now, I had on a white shirt, and the Rock of Ages is pretty strict about wearing your jackets. But it was so hot in Mississippi, they laid the strictness aside and said, "You can go in your shirt and your tie, amen." Now, you ain't coming out of a tie with Rock of Ages. You're streaking, amen, if you come out of your tie. But they let us go without our coats. And so I'm sitting there next to this man that I had the privilege to point to Jesus that day. And the officer came down through there. She would just walk every aisle. And you know what she was doing, don't you? She was counting. Count is very important in prison. If the count gets off by one, you're in a mess in prison. Amen. And she was looking right puzzled like. And one of our men saw what was going on, and he went over to her and he said, "Now listen, that guy in that white shirt over there, he's not one of yours, he's one of ours." The guy with the tie on, amen. And so the guy that was running the meeting, he got on me after church. He said, "Now, preacher, they really don't want you to sit with the prisoners." I said, "Listen, that man just got saved and wanted me to sit with him. He saved me a seat. What in the world's wrong with that?" He said, "Well, if you do sit with them," he said, "if you see somebody counting, you stand up." Amen. While they're counting. Amen. I got to coming home, coming up the interstate. I got to thinking about what had happened in that revival meeting. I got to thinking about a time when our Lord was numbered with the transgressors and He bore the sin of many. I want you to know, thank God, listen, what happened in that prison was by accident. It was not on purpose. But what happened on that cross was not by accident. It was on purpose that He was numbered with the transgressors and that He bare the sin of many. I don't know about you tonight, but that blesses my heart to think about the Son of God being numbered with the transgressors that we might be numbered with the redeemed. What a blessing that is tonight. In John chapter number 19, let me give you this tonight. We're going to another text. We're still at the cross. We're still at Calvary. Amen. Let me give you another thought right here tonight. In John chapter number 19, just a couple more thoughts and I'll be done. If you can bear with me. Looks like we'll make it back to Philippians after all. Y'all know I'm just kind of skipping through here a little bit. Amen. Look at chapter 19 and verse number 25 of the book of John. Here's another thought at Calvary. Look at verse 25 down through verse 27. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus His mother and His mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw His mother and the disciple standing by whom He loved, He saith unto His mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith He to the disciple, Behold thy mother. Now there's an exclamation point there in both of those statements. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. You say, preacher, what did you see in that text right there? Let me give you something tonight. He, our Lord, was full of compassion. Even in His death, He was still trying to see to it that others were taken care of. You see that right there? Son, this is your mom now. Take care of mama. Mom, this is your son now. Amen. How many believes John took that seriously? I guarantee you John took that to his grave. Amen. He knew that the Lord had given him a responsibility in His last words at Calvary to take care of Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say, my friend, He died. He was an example of compassion in His death, that you and I might be an example of compassion in our life. Amen. The Bible said, and of some have compassion, making a difference. I'm going to tell you something tonight. There ought to be a desire in every one of our hearts to make a difference in somebody else's life. Make a difference. Just make a difference. Amen. How many mamas and papas are here tonight? How many believes we ought to want to make a difference in our grandchildren's lives? Make a difference in our children's life. Make a difference in our community. Make a difference in our church. I remember one time years ago, a man made this statement. I don't know where it came from, but he said, he said, what kind of church would my church be if every member was just like me? I'll tell you, that's a good question to ask, isn't it? Amen. I'll tell you, God wants us to have compassion on one another. Have compassion on the lost. Have compassion on our community. Have compassion in our life because He was willing to have compassion in His death. Amen. I believe with all of my heart that, my friend, you know what compassion is? This might be an oversimplified way of putting it. But what compassion is love in action. That's what compassion is. Amen. It's more, the Lord said, love not in word and in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Amen. In deed and in truth. Then the last thing I'll give you tonight, in John chapter 19, verse number 30. Think about this for just a moment. In John chapter 19 and verse number 30. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, He said, It is finished. And He bowed His head and He gave up the ghost. Jesus As he was dying, he cried with a loud voice. That was very unusual for somebody that was crucified to have enough strength to say anything with a loud voice. That tells me something. That he was still in control. He gave up the ghost. Now watch this. He said, "Preacher, what's this last thing here? Let me give it to you." He finished the work of redemption that you and I might finish our work as the redeemed. How many believes he finished the work of redemption? Now listen, Paul, when he got ready to leave off the scene, he said, "The time of my departure is at hand." He said, "I fought a good fight." He said, "I kept the faith." He said, "I finished my course." I believe I got that order wrong. I believe he fought a good fight and he finished his course and he kept the faith. But anyway, he did all three of them. Amen. He finished. You say, "Preacher, how was Paul able to finish?" I'll tell you how. Because Jesus finished at Calvary. My friend, God has a work for you and I to do. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to get home and have a big incomplete wrote over my life. I'd like to be able to breathe my last words and say, "I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." You say, "Preacher, I don't know how Paul could say that." Well, I tell you how. He didn't live his life for himself. He lived his life for his Savior. And he lived his life for others. He walked in the light. He didn't walk in darkness. He did what God wanted him to do. My friend, he warned people. Amen. Of the judgment to come. He warned people of a God that they were going to have to stand before in judgment. And he was faithful to the cause of Christ. I want you to know tonight, we may not finish, but if we don't, it won't be his fault. He has given us everything that we need to finish our course. Paul said in another place, he said, "That I might finish my course." I love these two words, "with joy." I don't want to just finish. I want to finish the course with joy. Amen. I know Brother Bob wants to finish his course with joy. Say amen. You'll get that after a while. Amen. But you and I, as God's people, we ought to want to finish the course with joy. The joy of the Lord in our heart and in our life. Amen. Amen. At Calvary. At Calvary. There's a lot going on at Calvary. A lot of swapping going on. He's bearing our sin in his body on that tree. Amen. That you and I could go free. That you and I could serve him and worship him. Our Redeemer and our Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for Calvary. Thank you, God, for these truths that have so stirred our hearts in these last few days. I pray, Lord, that, Lord, we've gleaned something somewhere through the message that would just stir our hearts to worship Thee. Stir our hearts to serve You, Lord. Stir our hearts, Lord, to have some have compassion and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, just making a difference, our Father, in this generation. Father, I know today the devil doesn't want us to make a difference. Lord, I know You do want us to make a difference. I pray You'd help us to do that. Our heads are bowed tonight. Our eyes are closed. I wonder, is there someone here, say, "Preacher, if I were to die tonight, I'm not sure I would go to heaven. Please pray for me." Is there anyone like that here tonight? Is there anyone like that here tonight? Is there anyone here tonight, say, "Preacher, if I were to die tonight, I'm afraid I haven't finished the course for my life. I couldn't say that, preacher. I've not been about my Father's business the way that Jesus was, the way that Paul was." You'd say, "Preacher, pray for me that I'd be about my Father's business, that I'd be ready when it comes my time to go. Pray with me." Anybody tonight say, "Preacher, I've neglected the work of the Lord. Please pray for me." Father in heaven, tonight, as we've looked at Calvary, may we worship You tonight, Lord. May we thank You tonight. May we praise and adore You tonight.
Lord, it was an ugly scene that day. But Lord, it'll be a beautiful scene one day after a while when we gather around your throne as the people of God. Lord Jesus, if you were to come tonight, so many in Bloomingdale are not prepared. So many in Kingsport are not prepared. So many in our country are not prepared. So many around this world are not prepared. Help us, God, to be missionaries, to send missionaries. Help us, Lord, to have compassion. In Jesus' name, amen.